The crowd dispersed, and they were led off to their billets. The fat woman, Mags, took Ryan by the arm. She was smiling at him, but it was the smile of a predator. She was still slick with sweat and blood, and the smell coming from her was rank. She was rushing, barely able to contain herself. In a heightened state of arousal, she felt sure this was going to be a good night for her. Her shack was toward the back end of the ville, and she pulled Ryan so hard that the still weakened man nearly fell a few times.
I'm gonna fuck you within an inch of your life!
She reached her shack and threw the door open, almost pushing him through the narrow gap. Ryan stumbled and fell in the darkness, landing face first with a jolt on a pile of thin sacking. He rolled over as she lit the oil lamp that was the shack's sole illumination. The place was strewed with stinking, rancid clothes and bits of rotting food. The only thing that seemed to be maintained in any way were the guns and knives that stood in one carefully swept corner. The blades of the unsheathed knives glittered cruelly in the flickering light, and Ryan noticed her eyes go to them. The woman advanced on him. Ryan, still weak, tried to move out of her way. But she was fast, and she was on him in seconds, pinning him down with her bulk. Her hands were everywhere, seeming at once to hold him still and search his body. Her fingers found his crotch. Despite his revulsion, she was surprisingly light and dexterous, and he found his body responding.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Ryan felt incredibly weak, but he summoned all his strength and flipped her away from him. She skittered across the room, unable to prevent herself from falling. She reached out, grabbing one of the knives, and got to her feet in a combat stance. Ryan had maneuvered himself so that he was seated with his back against the far wall of the shack. He unsheathed his panga, and the curved blade took the woman's attention.
Yeah. You try it, bitch. I'll cut your fucking throat.
Her face writ large with frustration, she settled opposite him on her haunches, the knife still in her hand. They fixed each other with a glare. Ryan realized it was going to be one of those nights. Doc sat on the floor of the shack. He was with two men, one fat and warty, the other thin, with a cleft palate, and eyes so close together that they seemed to blur into one by the fading light of the tallow candles that lit the shack. Both men had so far spoken to him only to tell him their names and to indicate where he should sleep. Otherwise, they had ignored him. But Doc had an intuitive feeling that, as soon as he fell into sleep, they would attack him. Despite his best efforts, Doc's eyes began to droop. His mind wandered, and his weary body let sleep claim him.
Ouch!
The two men were using their knives to strip Doc's clothing from him. One of them was about to inscribe a design on Doc's bare chest. Wild-eyed and confused, Doc reached for his lama, only to find that it had been taken from him. Doc struggled free, grasping his stick with both hands and unsheathing the blade of finest Toledo steel. The arc he prescribed sliced into one of the men, the fat one, across his chest and face. The two men scuttled away, and Doc fixed them with a glare.
One step, and I swear I shall cleave you in twain.
The pain from Doc's cuts was fresh enough to ensure that he would be able to stay awake this time. Jack knew that he had to establish control over the situation. He was with a man and a woman, both tall and lanky, both with hideously deformed faces, who towered over him. It was obvious they were looking to enjoy their captive. Jack let his body posture seem submissive until they were all in the hut, and then whirled before the couple had a chance to light their lamps. In the darkness, Jack's sensitive eyes were better attuned than theirs, and he could see their surprised expressions. Jack reached into his jacket and took out a couple of leaf-bladed throwing knives, keeping them light in each palm. Jack advanced and skipped around the pair, cutting at them and forcing them into a corner where they cowered. Jack settled himself in the opposite corner.
You move, I cut you. Chew you slow. Understand?
The couple nodded obediently. for Jack, it was going to be an easy night. A sense of dread filled Mildred as she was led back to the hovel shared by Cy, Dee, and Mal. She neither knew nor cared which was which, only that she couldn't get the vision of what she had seen a few hours earlier out of her head. When they closed the door of the shack, and she was faced by all three of them in the faltering lamplight, a shiver crept down Mildred's spine.
We gonna have a howl time tonight!
Mildred backed into a corner. She hadn't caught all of that, but she had a pretty good idea what they were talking about.
Hey, no need to be scared. This could be really good. You might even like it.
Mildred doubted that very much, but was in no position to argue. She just had to defend herself. The woman sprang forward with shocking speed, a knife appearing in her hand from seemingly nowhere. She was on Mildred before she had a chance to move, pushing her back against the wall, pinning her arms, the knife slicing into her clothes and pricking her skin, drawing blood.
Oh! Hell! Her blood's the same color as ours! One has seen the same color as you down there!
Before Mildred had a chance to brace herself, she found all three of them on her, tearing at her clothes. Struggling, Mildred managed to free her ZKR. She angled the barrel as much as she could against the body on top of her. She didn't know which of them it was. Dee fell back, stunned, and then clutched at his midriff. Blood flowed through his clenched fingers. Buckley took Christy back to his ranch house and sent away his two guards. He then produced an old plastic container with a noxious homemade brew in it, which he persuaded her to share. The Ville chief was soon drunk, reeling around the ranch house. Torn between playing along for group safety and stopping things right now, Christy allowed Buckley to take her hand and lead her to the locked room. Christy stood by him at the doorway, not quite sure what course of action to take. He took her hand and placed it on him.
No, you've got that wrong.
Oh, what now? What? You staying? You does what I say.
Buckley grasped her by the arm. It was a tight, hard grip, his fingers biting into her flesh.
What the fuck?
The distant report from Mildred ZKR seemed to sober Buckley immediately. He lumbered from the room, Christy following. They saw that half of the Ville had gathered outside the hut Mildred was in. The rest of the companions were also there. Buckley pushed his way through the crowd and was about to enter the hut when Cy and Mal came out.
Get out of the goddamn way!
Buckley struck both of them so hard that they fell to the earth. Mildred appeared at the door.
Damn it! Cy, Mal, you were told to be good, not to fuck them over. We needin' them, and y'all knows it!
Buckley turned to the crowd, searching for the companions.
When you and your people come stay in the big house, where y'all and us can't do any more damage. The rest of you, keep the fuck quiet! We got some hunting to do!
The rest of the Ville stood and watched as the companions detached themselves and followed the Ville chief. It was uncanny the way the Ville dwellers just stood silently. Maybe the sinister import of his words was the reason. Whatever he had meant, it had ensured the companions' safety, at least for the moment.